Welcome back, everyone, to Radio Statler. Thank you for enjoying our chatter. I'm here with the kids of the Sysadministrivia podcast. Nice I like word. To pronounce every single letter because you put all that effort into putting those letters in there. I'll be the host this hour. I'm Johnny Christmas, and I'm here with...
Brent.
Oh, get up on that, Brent.
Get up right up on it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's better.
I feel like I did this last year, too. Yeah, Brent. Anyway, so I'm Brent.
Hi, Brent.
I'm Jonathan.
Jonathan.
And I'm Peyton.
Peyton. How are you guys doing today?
Doing pretty well. A little tuckered out.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you were out later than I was.
Hope is a little wild and crazy place.
Yeah. So what is this we're drinking here?
This is so I'm only the host for the drinking section of this podcast, and then I'll go ahead and let you guys take over.
Okay.
Because it's actually your show. I'm actually a guest on your show, and out of habit just said I'm the host.
Right.
And I'm just giving you the minimum necessary to understand what's going on in here. So what we're drinking here is a Chicago-only liqueur. It's only available in Chicago. It's called Malort. It's from a company called Jepson's. Carl Jepson makes it, assumedly, in his truck's gas tank.
Don't do it!
Definitely not.
Too late.
That's for those playing along at home, those screams are coming from outside the booth. And,
at that point.
it's got, I mean... What do you go? Let's go around. What do you guys think of this? The nose.
So,
it's a lot like.
It smells like gasoline. It has a distinct.
It does.
Yeah, like a petroleum. Really, like I definitely smell a petrol. And then go ahead and just drink it all in one gulp.
So, I actually beat you to the punch. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, that's got a
the visible whiff.
That's got a little bit of. That's got a little bit of a kick to it there. It's.
Now, when
I don't
it
know what that tastes like at
when
all.
When it that's first not good. Hit my tongue,
yeah,
I was all right. I was like, "Oh, this is great!
Yeah,
this is fantastic."
It's almost floral, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And
right.
Then it hits the back of your throat, and then you're like, "Oh my fucking!" Like
that's
I'm,
what
I'm
she
done.
Said.
What
is and it? Then, and then about 30 seconds in, it creeps.
Yeah. Why is the aftertaste so terrible?
The aftertaste is really
like
bad.
It keeps getting worse.
I feel
worse.
Like I'm chewing on plastic.
I haven't heard that one yet. I've heard. I've heard that it's why they started the Chicago Fire. That's one of my personal favorites.
I would too.
This is what makes people vote for Trump. Was
you know what?
Good one.
It puts hair on your chest.
And I wherever mean, else.
Yeah.
See if this helps you. Get that taste out of your mouth.
Okay. All right.
Oh, this is amazing.
I'm good here.
You're good? Okay. Mm. Yeah, this is a zero carb pancake that I made.
Oh, what is it made out of then?
Mostly eggs and cream cheese.
Not carbs, obviously.
Yeah, it's mostly plastic. It's just this.
It does get the taste out of your mouth.
Yeah. Boil it down.
I'll grant that.
It's good.
Yeah. So, this is the show. We're going to eat on air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just chew. Just
so, we got about an hour of this left.
Yeah.
just
no, I got a bunch of pancakes. We can do it. Mm-hmm. I got a bunch of Malort.
So, that was the podcast.
Yeah. So, whenever I go to cons, I try to bring a couple bottles to expose... different
for your
cultures.
For the people you
so
hate.
You're trying to spread the hate, so to speak?
Well, you know how, like, back in the day, like, British imperialists would go into Africa and or America and just murder the natives?
Right.
And
yeah.
That's what I like to
here's
do
some
at
blankets
cons.
With, you know, measles on them or whatever.
Right. So my version of blankets with measles is Malort, and I like to go to the cons and expose new cultures to terror
I mean,
and fear.
It's, you're not wrong. Because it
really...
It starts out like you're like, oh, this is great, and then by the time they're walking away, you're like, this is terrible.
It's the blankets with the measles. They think the blankets are great.
Blankets.
They're like, oh
exactly.
Yeah. And then like a day later,
I
why
find
do
this
I have a cold?
Like, beat him up, you know? Like, hell, man, what are you thinking, dude?
you had a violent response. I just want to kick your ass.
So if you go to Chicago, I've admittedly not spent time there. Can you get like cocktails with it?
Yeah.
What do they make with it?
It's. I'm not a bartender, and I couldn't tell you offhand. It's a similar liqueur to, like, chartreuse.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like chartreuse with less flavors, but it's still that intense bitterness. So it works good with citruses if you're going to mix it with... I like to throw a shot of it into a grapefruit Radler.
Hmm.
That's pretty good. Gives it a little extra bitterness, kind of balances that sweet out, makes it its own thing. Okay. It's like... you ever had, like, a digestive, like... No...
Tums or
no,
what do you mean
like
by
digestive? man, Underberg that comes in the little bottles.
No.
Yeah. An after-dinner digestive liqueur.
No, I don't
I
think
can I honestly say I've not. But okay. I do understand what you're talking about. It's that small bottle that's supposed to help you just, like, clean your track down.
Yeah, you'll see in the German bars a lot.
Yeah.
It's that also has a bitter base like this. The bitterness comes from wormwood, which tastes like it sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also the base. This is the base of absinthe.
Oh, okay.
Absinthe is heavily wormwood.
I've had
lots
of absinthe, yeah.
Okay. This is the bitterness that's inside the absinthe.
Interesting.
But it's just wormwood. So.
Terrible.
I think it tastes like, you know how, like, you ever have red...
So, I thought wormwood distilling was still illegal in the U.S. I know that you can use NEs, and that's legal.
It's up to a certain Thujone level is legal now.
Okay.
Yeah, which is pretty much... And that high level is pretty hard to even get to anyway, because it's actually been bred out of wormwood in the wild.
Okay.
And so there's botanists trying to fix that. Like you can't get the levels that absinthe had in the 1800s.
Exactly.
It's been bred
honestly,
out.
I don't think you would want to.
I don't.
I feel like it would taste terrible.
I'll try anything once.
It does get you a very noticeably happy kind of drunk. There's at least that.
Should it get you happy drunk?
Yeah.
Now, Johnny, before we swing into our thing, I have a question. I'm not seeing the glory hole. I have my doubts as to...
I've been looking for
the handshake glory hole?
No.
Oh.
No. No, last time, there was definitely a glory hole in this booth.
Is it right there?
No. It got removed, actually.
We had some individuals who weren't pleased with its presence.
I see.
So, like, we repurposed it into just a general liquor delivery hole.
Okay. All right.
And,
liquor delivery.
This year we opted to not have one.
I see. Just avoid the scandal altogether.
Yeah.
It's probably a smart move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's. I mean, like, I'm a fan of people yelling on the air about stuff. Like, that's all we do here. But,
right.
There was a consensus, and we decided no glory hole this year. I'm sorry. I know it was a staple of the Radio Statler booth.
It did. It was something I was looking forward to.
You notice that there's an 87% reduction in penises on the walls this year.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. I'm disappointed. I was really looking forward to seeing the glory hole wall.
Yeah, that's true.
But you know what? It's fine.
If you wanted to, like, militantly create one in the middle of the night, gorilla glory hole installation or something.
I mean...
You saying you ain't gonna snitch.
I wouldn't know who did it, because I wouldn't be here.
That's true, it wouldn't be us. Why would it be us?
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Clearly,
no.
Who does that exactly? That's right. Why would you?
Well,
do
people
that?
Who want to see a glory hole restored to its former glory, Peyton.
I mean, if it mysteriously appears, we can revel in its glory, right?
If that's what you call what you do
I would
to it,
revel.
There would be revelry.
I would totally revelry.
Yeah,
I'd be very happy.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We should
go on that note. I'll hand the show over to the Citizen Administrivia Podcast Kids.
Yeah. So Brent, I'll let you intro us, and then I can talk a little bit about the topic. Johnny, for what it's worth, you should just chime in if you feel like you want to.
Yeah.
We're talking a little bit about operations shit.
Mm-hmm. Glory holes.
And right. You do have some experience with that. Glory holes notwithstanding.
Yeah.
No, I have a lot of...
You're the one with extensive...
Right, Jayton has the
strong working knowledge of glory holes.
What was that? Season two shit show? Season one shit show.
Season one shit show.
Yeah. All right. Anyways. So this is System and Disturbia. Welcome back. I don't really have a normal sounding intro for this because we're not balancing this ourselves, obviously, and we're not doing the intro music. Yeah. So it feels a little weird.
Do you have it on your phone? You just throw it on the mic?
No, I do different intro music every time.
Oh, okay.
So it feels a little odd to me, but...
We have this great background noise, too, and I'm not saying that sarcastically. I really love that. It makes the listeners really understand, like, we're at a conference.
Oh,
we are in the middle of, like, a crowded conference on the busiest day.
With people screaming and riding segues.
Do we have a headcount for this year yet?
Oh, I don't. I don't personally. Let me see if I can ping one up, but...
If not, don't worry about it. But,
I'm guessing probably this year 2,300 based on recent... previous trends.
Yeah, yeah. So it's grown. It's getting bigger every year. I feel like the crowd control was better this year, though.
Yeah.
Well, it's a bigger venue, from what I understand.
No, it's the same venue.
No, I mean the space they have is bigger this year than in years past. I mean, that's what the tweet said.
I think they added, what was it, Richard?
I think they added
one, but yeah. the rooms are the same on the 18th
Are they?
Floor.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. We didn't add a room. We moved a room
okay.
downstairs.
That's probably right.
And yeah. so the large room upstairs used to be a large room and then a tiny room in the back of it. We yeah. just pulled that wall back in
okay.
to make the large room even larger. And then we made the tiny room
That's
larger
right.
by moving
yeah,
it
yeah,
downstairs.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're actually on two floors this year, which is weird in its own right.
Yeah.
The downstairs room is really freaking cool.
I haven't even looked down
there. It's actually really hot, but yeah. I get what you're saying.
It's in the bowels of the hotel.
Yeah.
Like it's
yeah.
in the back hallways where like people don't go. It's like, because there's nothing back there, except
yeah,
we
yeah.
said, hey, can we use one of these rooms? And they were like,
yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, I guess.
Sure. We'll have to get the mold out first,
yeah.
but, you know, it's
but,
fine.
Yeah, but those bowels are really cool to run around in. The hotel doesn't care, too. They love that we love the back alleys so
cool.
much. So
yeah.
I mean, we've almost, I don't want to put too much faith into Hope, but, like, it's pretty much kept Hope, Pennsylvania afloat at certain points, you know? So I'm sure they're grateful for us. There have been several times where, you know, there was big talk of it being
yeah. As
torn down.
As a noted Hope historian,
yes.
one of my favorite things that the hotel has done in our favor was mm-hmm. That we were here the same year as the Republican National Convention, who was at Madison Square Garden, you know, a block away, and obviously many of them stayed here.
Mm-hmm.
The poor bastards.
I think I remember reading about that one. That was
they wrote a letter. The general manager of the Hotel Pennsylvania wrote a letter to 2600 Magazine, which was published in the magazine,
mm-hmm.
Stating directly that we were a much more well-behaved and respectful group than the Republican National Convention. We,
That's
a group of hackers who have devoted our lives to
causing chaos,
troublesome activities.
Sure, yeah.
Things that make you go, at least.
Where they would rather have us in the hotel than the Republican
yeah.
National
yeah.
Convention.
That's nuts.
Possibly the most conservative group in America.
That's nuts.
I feel part of that is you don't, hackers anyways, at least understand you don't shit where you eat.
Well, you know, we have to make that announcement every year at the opening ceremonies, like, hey, please don't
True.
Fuck with the hotel. They're
yeah.
very good to us. Let's
yeah,
be
are.
Good to them.
Absolutely.
Return. There's the largest city in the country out there for you to go fuck with. Do it there. Don't
yeah.
please
yeah.
just don't. And you know what? Every year there's somebody who does something that crosses a line, and they're dealt with. And we let a lot of stuff slide. The hotel lets a lot of stuff slide. The hotel takes a lot of precautions. They shut
yeah.
off all the self check-in kiosks, things like that. Like they know what they're
doing. It's a smart thing to
yeah.
do.
Yeah. And they train their staff on who's coming here and what kind of people we are. And the staff's very respectful and they love that we're here.
Yeah.
And so we take care of the hotel. Hotel takes care of us. There was the year of the last hope when the hotel was going to close.
Yeah.
And
I remember that.
2600 crew had looked and looked and looked all over, had looked into New Jersey trying to find a new venue. And there was absolutely no one who could give us the deal that Hotel Pennsylvania gives us. And so Emmanuel on 2600 had announced that, like, if since the Hotel Pennsylvania is being torn down, Hope will have to cease to exist because they refused to charge $300 a badge for attendees.
Yeah.
So that's unconscionable. We cannot do that. We're just going to have to close down. And then, lo and behold, hotel got historical monument status and
mm-hmm.
is now safe and preserved for the time being. And here we are. So the last hope was not a scam to get people to show up. They really did think it was going to be as they were going into it.
I vividly remember reading about that.
About
yeah. They were. It was like, we have really bad news. The hotel's going to get torn down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was like, holy crap, I'm never going to get to go to this.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. then here I am. What was that? 10 years ago? A little bit more than that?
Gosh, it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was,
and,
it was
and
exactly
here I am.
10
this
years
my
ago.
First hope and at the Hotel Pennsylvania. It's great.
Awesome. With what might be a record-breaking crowd. So
yeah.
we'll
There's
see.
There's a lot of people here.
There you go. All right.
Anyway,
I feel like I've been pulling us off on.
I'm
going to
be like typical J-thon. We got to get back on topic.
Right.
Are you going to tell us that it's going to be a short episode this time?
No, but now that it's been burned into my brain, we're probably going to go over.
Nah, okay. I'm the one that said it. So
okay. So we wanted to talk. We didn't know what the fuck we were going to talk about at first.
Yeah. Right. We were just like, we want to be on the radio, but we don't really have good ideas.
Well, we were invited on the beaches. And I was like, well, I don't have anything to talk about this time. You know?
I just wanted to be
here. Okay. All right. Calm down. You need a clam. So, you know, we hashed it out. And then, like, yesterday?
It was pretty much yesterday.
Yeah.
We came up with the title before we actually knew what the hell the title meant.
That's true. So I just thought of like Hack Ops. That's got to be a thing, right?
Yeah, it's not, sure.
By the way, but we're making it.
I feel like all ops is Hack Ops.
In a way, yeah, and that's kind of what we're gonna have. So yeah, we're making it a thing. We're co-opting the word. We're making it a thing.
Sure. Sure. We have notes that we're looking
yeah,
at.
Thank you. Ooh,
because
yeah.
we came
we
up with this.
We normally have notes, and normally when we record our podcast, you know, like a normal episode, I have them right in front of me.
Yeah.
But I don't this time, so this is... Okay.
Because you forgot your power brick for your laptop.
Yes. I did do that. That's true.
Onward and upwards.
Thank you.
Don't mind me.
So we are a podcast centered around system administration and systems engineering. If anyone who's listened to us before... is familiar with us, you would know that very well. But we don't really... This isn't our scene per se, and I know Johnny's going to have something to say about it. He usually has stuff to say about something. But, no, it's not our scene at the end of the day, and we're okay with that. We like coming here to see the people. We like learning. We like the hacker culture. But at the end of the day, we're not strictly...
I think the only way you can call it not your scene is if you actively keep yourself out of it.
Okay.
Well, it's not that we're not a part of it or anything. It's just like most of the topics here are not actually pertinent to what we do or enjoy doing.
There's a distinct schism.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that schism. And I enjoy being here.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, it's there. And there's nothing we can do about it, and that's fine. Because we're operations. We're not, you know, we're not pendisters. We're not... security and defense people. We're not. We're
regular. We keep the lights on, so to speak.
We're the first line in the implementation,
right?
Basically.
But if
we're
you,
not. It's, oh, I'm sorry. I mean to cut in. Go ahead.
Well, just if you look at what it actually means to hack, right? Mm-hmm. You know, because it's 2018 and
no
weird things are happening.
No, I'm not letting the news co-opt the meaning of this.
Well, I'm just saying, people use the word hack like, oh, there was a data breach and all these people got hacked.
A hacker?
I personally tend to use the word like...
Oh, hacked as in the adjective?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But what does it really mean to hack? Like, what is a hacker?
So, I'm going to go back. I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to go back to the jargon file. And the jargon file, which is basically a dictionary and glossary and so on and so forth, maintained since like the 70s, yep. Right? Mm-hmm. The jargon file talks about the definition of hacking, and it refers to finding a creative way around a problem, making stuff do what it wasn't designed to do, things like that. That is the heart of what I consider to be hacking.
Yeah. Well,
and sure, sometimes vulnerabilities fall into that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to. Right?
Well, from what I have taken from hacking, it's finding information... And distilling the information out, making it available to everyone. Cracking is the method of going and defacing websites and things like that. So when you say that you're hacking...
I would say that's compromising and
sure.
more than anything.
But hacking itself is, there's information I want to release to the world, I'm going to find it and get it out there. Versus like, I want your bank account numbers.
I would say
even
more,
that's
yeah,
too
but
specific,
I would say it's more driven around... like self-curiousness more than anything.
For me, the word tinkering but. Comes to mind.
Tinker's a good word for it.
Tinker,
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
So anyway, we're going to roll with that definition. You know, hackers are tinkerers, and they like to fuck with things in ways that they're not necessarily designed to fuck with.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm down with that.
And so for us, yes, we're systems administrators, and especially Brent, he's like an 85-year-old man most of the time.
Yeah.
He is the biggest curmudgeon I've ever...
What is he the rest of the time?
Sleeping.
Yeah,
curmudgeon.
Like an 85-year-old man.
I have to call him before we record. Yeah. Like, hey, man, you need to get up.
Yeah.
Join us. So, okay, all right, I'm all up. Right.
So what can we as ops people, learn from hacker culture? What can we take away from that, and how can we apply it to what we actually do?
I think the big part
and,
is...
And we're now calling that HackOps, by the way.
HackOps.
HackOps. It's not DevOps.
Taking a hacker's approach towards operations.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we have a couple of notes here, as we stated. I think the first thing that we all sort of agreed on, you know, there's a lot of people here, especially you look at people doing, like, biohacking, which I'm not getting into how I feel about that personally, but...
we have on the show before.
Yes.
Yeah.
It makes me angry.
It's a favorite topic of mine. It's a divisive topic.
If there's an extra segment later, we could probably talk about it.
You can talk about it.
I get mad.
I'll let you.
Anyway,
we're probably on the same side of the topic, it sounds like, though, so that would be very boring.
Or you can just scream at the microphone.
Yeah, it would just be proselytizing.
I'll play devil's advocate for you.
So,
I'll be napping.
You think you're better than God?
So,
yes.
Biohackers in particular, I bring them up as an example because they're using all kinds of interesting tools.
It's pretty funny. It's the speakers out there.
They're using all kinds of tools that are meant for commercial lab settings and for doing very specific procedures and medical things. And they're just kind of fucking around with it and injecting themselves with weird cells and stuff. That's a very loose definition of biohacking as well. But
that's also how reproduction works.
That's true.
You're right. You're not wrong.
Is
you're not
sex wrong. Biohacking?
But in the case of biohackers who are using, you know, 3D printing and stuff to come up with lab-grade sort of equipment to mix solutions and stuff like that, that's where I was going with all this. Sometimes a working solution is an okay solution. If you don't have $10,000 to spend on some kind of appliance that you need to mix two liquids together, but you can make your own because you have a 3D printer and it costs you sub $500, I think that's an okay solution, even if you're using it for asinine things. So,
or more accurately, if you've got two dead ass, I mean, not dead, obviously, but like two really old switches, dumb switches.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do we
and
transition
instead of
now?
VLANing and buying a new switch, I think it's totally fine to just use the two switches.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
Sure.
So them on the gateway.
But in any case, what is an actual example in ops where sometimes a working solution is an okay solution? That isn't your dumb switch example, because nobody even does networking anymore. The internet is just ubiquitous, and it's everywhere, and you don't have to do anything.
No, I feel like you have a vast misunderstanding of the amount of work. There is literally a team of knock engineers next door, Jathan.
There is.
There's not a hole. I can't see them. I don't believe it.
Oh, that's right.
You know what? I can take care of that for you really fast. I mean, I wouldn't do that right now.
Wouldn't it be glorious if there was a hole?
It would be pretty glorious.
And you wouldn't know which knock engineer was on the other side. But you could imagine.
You could just stick your mouth.
It's your time in the box.
And be like, hey.
Yeah, you just run your cable through the hole.
I need some attention here. Can you...
So okay, you're doing some kind of turnkey deployment.
Yeah.
Maybe you're building some kind of clustered infrastructure or a distributed service or something.
Sure.
I assume you're using Pixie and Kickstart or something like that, or perhaps you're using a configuration management tool. But there's a single node that doesn't build properly. You don't end up with a working product. So out of 50 machines, one doesn't work.
Yeah,
I would argue that's an okay time to employ some kind of HackOps techniques to get it up and running, assimilate it into your infrastructure. So where do you draw the line? When is it okay to HackOps something, and when do you have to properly op something?
Well, I think that's a really complex question, right?
That's what we're here for.
We're doing science. Answers, though. So, like... Look at it this way. Like, how important is this piece of machinery to your I'm gonna sound like some kind of corporate buzz like shill here. How important it is to your mission, right? Like, is this
your mission
replaceable in functionality? Is there no other drop in replacement you can employ?
So I actually had something happen at work recently where I was visited by a former manager who moved to a different department, and one of the people under him, and they had an appliance that was low on hard drive space. Root was full.
Yeah.
And I had to hack away at Root to create some space so that they could continue operating the appliance. It wasn't on LVM, and I couldn't expand the disk because it was an appliance and we had no actual controls over it.
I'm not sure if that classify.
That's my definition of hacking into things.
Well, what, so what would have been? So if we're considering a hack to be like a non-standard method, like against best practices, but that's what you had to do. What would be the standard method of dealing with that? If what you described as the hack.
So
what
standard
else
method
could have been done?
I would say would be to grow the file system either with another disk.
But you said that wasn't possible.
Right. So you could, you know, drop the system, add another disk, put it back up again, and then, you know.
I feel like a hack would be mounting a virtual file system from the host. I feel like that's definitely hacky. That's arguably
like
hacky.
Hooking up a USB drive and like expanding the volume.
Yeah. That's
a lot more hacky than what I did. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, standard practice would be to, you know, just add more disk to it if you can.
Well, yeah. Sure. Once upon a time, it was standard practice to actually just delete junk data.
Yeah.
So
I think I could give you another good example of something I recently did that I would definitely consider hack ops. So second week in June, I was running a hackathon as part of something called Rocky Mountain Genomics HackCon, which was like a week-long conference.
You talk so quietly.
You speak up.
I don't think I'm that quiet.
He's got the crap mic.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not even on the earphones. I'm just
He also talks
about it. So anyway... I was using Amazon resources.
No, we're going to focus on how quietly you talk for five.
Yeah, I was talking real quiet.
I was doing his ASMR bullshit.
So I was running Amazon compute instances for this event for...
Amazon puke instances?
Compute?
Compute.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's iterated. I can't.
That's still in private
data. And, you know, at the end of the day, I just needed them to work and have the software that the researchers I was supporting at the time, what they needed.
Right.
But I did need some consistency in terms of, like, I needed to be able to log into all of them. Mm-hmm. Most likely, at these events, they tend to have a lot of sharing of data and whatnot. So I ended up writing this Python script that essentially just checked into a list of shit on GitHub. So it pulled a static file every 5 minutes, was like, are all of these packages installed? Yes. Don't do anything. Every 5 minutes.
That's
are all of
hacky.
These... It's pretty hacky, right? Are all of these users on the machine right now? Yes. Okay, so don't do anything. And then, on top of that, I didn't even want to manage passwords or keys for anybody, so I just found everybody's GitHub username ahead of time, and I pulled their pub keys from there to give them access to the machines. So during the event itself, I didn't have to manage keys for anybody. They could add or remove from GitHub.
That's pretty hacky.
It worked.
Yeah, it was great. I didn't have to do anything. Yeah. I was like, it was great. It's pretty hacky, but it worked for what I was doing, which was like a low barrier of entry. Like, it took me 20 minutes to set up.
Uh-huh.
It took less time than setting up Puppet or Ansible properly.
Mm.
It was like hacky...
So
DevOps bullshit.
Why did you even need to do that? In other words, like, I think all three of us, and I'm sure Johnny can, I don't want to exclude him, because he's done operations work.
I like turtles.
I like turtles. He's done operations work before. So
I have.
He's definitely.
Many years.
Yes. He's definitely.
And lots of hack ops. I worked for a company actually as a systems engineer where literally 100% of the equipment was garbage picked.
Yeah.
Like, from the trash.
Because
we were
100% hack ops.
We were an IT asset recycling firm, and so it was like, oh,
nice.
You need switches?
We got a whole
he, Johnny, then
try to match. Try to find a couple that match.
Cool.
I have to narrate my movements.
Right.
This
is
good radio.
We run into the same problem very frequently. Because we're an audio-only podcast. But, so
you were asking me why did I need to do that? What do you mean, why?
I think all of us at this table agree it's necessary. It's always going to be necessary to some degree. The question is, what qualifies it? At what point do you stray from the standard, you know, the SOP?
For me, it comes down to evaluating, like, this was a three-day event. There was no sensitive data involved, so if the Amazon instances somehow became compromised, like you destroy it and spin up a new one because it's the cloud, which is magical.
Yeah.
And it took me less time to write that functionality than to install Puppet and deploy it on all the nodes, which is what I normally use, like, in my production environment, right? Mm-hmm. But it was just like, how can I get this done the most efficiently that I can? Because in this case, it's okay if it's just working and it's not actually the best solution that I could come up with.
So I would say that if you're absolutely like in a mission critical state where, you know, everything's on fire and you have to get everything back up again or into a at least tenuous state, by all means, drop the SOP, do everything you can to get it back up again, and then at that point you can resume your change management and things like that. You know,
well, and there are cases that will never work, right? Like, well, I don't know why this isn't on the network, but it's a bunch of personally identifiable information. But who cares? Wait, you know, just turn the firewall off; it'll be okay.
Wait, you don't know why? No, hold on, that's not okay.
Whoa. Hack up.
Whoa! First off, there's a machine on your network, and you don't know what it's for.
No. Yes, I don't know.
Second of all, there's
maybe
there's a machine on your network
with a machine you don't know.
It's hack ups.
No. No.
So there's a line between hack ops and stupid.
So the end goal of hack ops is not the same as SOP. You still want a safe network.
Right.
I would say stupid is a qualifier. If you showed this to somebody else out of context, would they say, that's stupid?
Then yes,
that's hack ops.
Yeah, that's hack ops.
Yeah.
So it brings us sort of to our next point, though. We have a note here talking about cattle versus pets versus endangered animals.
I'm a little bit proud of coming up with that, by the way.
Yeah. Cattle aren't pets.
Yes.
Right, that's
exactly.
Done. That's
next.
Sort of the point.
Well, cattle aren't pets, right?
So what... obviously, the analogy, you know, cattle, we have a herd of cattle. We treat them all fairly similarly. Mm-hmm. There's usually many of them. Pets, you might have one or two, but they're sort of one-offs, if you will. They're less generic than the cattle. And then you have endangered animals. Like, you have one of something that's sitting in the corner, and it's probably half
pandas.
Dying because humans are terrible.
You're a cattle ranger, right? You've got a cow. It falls sick.
You have a moo cow?
Are you gonna take that cow to the vet? I mean, I guess it all depends on how large your herd is.
Probably.
Actually,
I like beef.
Cattle don't go to vets. Vets come to cattle.
That is also
generally
true.
Speaking.
Son of a bitch. All right. Whatever. You get what I'm saying, right? Do you call a vet, or do you just shoot the cattle? Assuming you shoot the cow. Assuming you've got like,
well, is it
cows.
A
which is more efficient?
Is not it a dairy cow or is it a
irrelevant?
My point being,
right,
you're less prejudicial towards the cattle members because they're supposed to function as a group.
Yeah,
it's the bees in a beehive, right?
Right.
Hive mentality sort of thing. Collectively is their worth, not individually.
Right.
A pet, its individuality is its worth.
Correct.
Its uniqueness is its worth. You don't, and as Johnny said, rightfully so, servers are cattle, not pets. Right.
Yeah. Right.
You don't want to have to treat your servers like some kind of like you don't have to deal with it with kid gloves every fucking time.
Right.
You got to remember: is this the one that reboots on like a 5 second delay? Is this the one that we can't patch?
But
you know?
Invariably, you're going to come across servers that have those quirks.
Yes.
I mean, I have some hardware servers that I know. When I bounce them, it's going to be at least 10 minutes before they come back up.
Right.
And then I have others that are like 5-ish minutes.
Right.
And so,
as the size
know.
Of your fleet grows, right. I think it's invariable that you're going to bump into shit like this.
Right.
Namely, I would say because of vendors. Vendors, yeah. Outside vendors are a terrible problem with this, right?
Yeah.
Because there's you can't patch this. We're not even going to give you creds into it. You know, like... just let us do our thing.
Or the ones that want you to give it domain admin.
Or that.
No.
You shouldn't, but like HackOps is kind of necessary in that case, right? Because
yeah.
You've got this machine. You don't know when it's been patched. You can't patch it yourself. It is still mission critical. It is
right.
Still required because, you know, obviously you have this vendor for a reason.
Yeah.
That no other solution you found acceptable. To replace it with, right?
Right.
So, HackOps is sort of the approach of saying, how can we still treat this cattle member? How can we still put a leash on this cattle member? You know? Because obviously, you still need to account for the way it's going to fall into place. You want to treat it like a cattle.
Yeah. But you do have to end up treating it specially. I mean, you do have to separate
because
it from
the
herd.
Context. Yeah.
Right. So you do have to separate it from the herd. You do have to have the vet come out and look at that one particularly.
Yeah.
Maybe, going with the cattle versus servers, maybe their hooves don't grow right or the horns going into the head. I mean, to go back to a server, it's got a finicky PSU that you have to like flip it twice before it actually like comes on okay, you know, whatever. Eventually, you're going to have to replace that. You're going to have to either shoot the cow or replace the server. And, you know...
Well, that's usually when you would call the vendor. But my point is you still need to make aberrant changes to your network to account for that.
Correct. Yes.
Strangeness in it.
Yeah.
But with cattle, shooting the cow, you still end up with a useful product.
Yes. Indeed. Unless it has mad cow, and then...
Can we shoot the vendor?
Is that love to. Can we? Please?
Let me tell you about people jerky. I don't think we have time. This will be an off the air.
I've had some. Yeah. Wow.
So the whole point then, if I'm distilling this correctly,
yes,
which probably tastes better than the other shit, we can use HackOps to make our infrastructure a little bit more like cattle and a little less like endangered animals and or pets. Is that the whole point here?
Yeah.
This server that we can't replace is the endangered animal. Right.
Uh-huh. Right. Exactly.
That's the thing. It still requires that sort of unique treatment.
Kid gloves, so to speak.
Kid gloves.
White glove, whatever you want to call it.
But at the end of the day, you don't want to treat it like a pet because that's still harmful to what you want to accomplish. You want to treat it like a vast wildlife.
You're going to tag it, you're going to monitor it, and you're going to put it out in the wild, and every so often you're going to dart it and check it out and then put it back out again.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that's
because otherwise, if you fuck with it too much, it's going to be like, I'm going to refuse to procreate, and you're going to have a situation like the giant pandas where, they ain't making more.
No, I'm pretty sure the pandas
you don't want it to make more,
like
though.
That. Yeah, you don't want it to.
Yeah, I don't want more sick cattle.
I'm just saying,
you want to protect it. You don't want to,
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Also, I think pandas had a problem copulating. Many, many years before they were ever on the endangered
list. Yes, that's very true.
So it's just a...
Actually, they're not on their endangered species list anymore.
Is it a pressure thing? Right. Like, why were they having issues with this?
They would just prefer to eat and sleep.
They're lazy.
Huh.
Yeah.
They've bred themselves into nothingness, and we refuse to let that happen.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they were trying to, like, here's a beautiful panda for you to mate with. And he's like, eh...
they don't want it to happen.
They're a metaphor for what's going on in Japan right now.
That's a very
serious observation. Yeah, the birth rate in Japan is like way down, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's because the kids are like, why would I bother with the risk of a relationship that may end poorly when I have hentai and pocky?
Yeah, I actually want to say that the birth rate in the U.S. is starting to creep down a little bit too.
It has been. Yeah. 50 years, before any of us were born.
Yeah. In Britain, they've actually just, I want to say it was 2010, did we talk about this? 2010 or so, that they actually just replaced the amount of people who were lost from World War II. Like, they've just now...
Just got back up to that?
To that level they were at. Yeah. Yeah.
So is that good or bad?
I don't know. We have a lot of people on this earth right now, honestly.
We're one of the least populated countries by available space, second only to, like, Australia?
I mean, Midwest is, like, empty.
Oh, man.
A lot of the Southwest.
And even so, like, we still aren't, like, we still have to do weird things with food to make enough of it to feed just our people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we are making a surplus, but we're also paying farmers to not grow anything. Like, it's like, hey, don't grow.
That's kind of how China too. China's huge, right? But I think a sixth of it is actually inhabited?
Right. Yeah. But densely inhabited.
Yes, densely.
You guys have seen that circle where, 75% of the population or 95% of the population lives in that circle and then the rest is outside of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I forget the actual value, but it's some astronomical number lives in this circle and it's literally China and India.
Oh, yeah, right.
And you're like, holy crap.
Most
you know?
Of the Earth lives
there. They're 2 and 2 billion, respectively. Or 2 billion and 1.9 billion each, respectively. Mm-hmm. And then outside of that is like, holy crap.
I don't know if you've ever been to China.
I have not.
A 25 million person city there is common. It's big. It's big, but there's more than one, and there's cities that exceed that.
Yeah.
you have no idea what that looks like. It's bananas. It's like, remember Final Fantasy VII? How the whole first disc just took place in this one city, and you thought the whole game was just going to be this city, and like that's what Shanghai is like. That's what Beijing is like.
Yeah.
You can get in a car and you can drive at speed for an hour and a half and still be in the city.
That's crazy.
It looks like SimCity because they just get these cookie cutter buildings. They go, all right, this 50 story condo, I need 20 of those in this plot of land, and then when those are done being built, they're full. They're like, all right, 20 more next to them.
Okay.
And like you'll drive for 2.5 hours and keep thinking you keep seeing the same set of 20.
You're like in an old cartoon from the 70s.
Yeah, where the background keeps repeating. Yeah. And then you get to like the edges of the city where there's tons of stuff being built and purchased that nobody lives in.
Yeah.
It's being bought and purchased as investment because they're like, yeah, people need to live here eventually. But because the construction companies know that, they're using the worst quality products possible to build this housing.
I've seen some of those buildings fall over. It's like, holy crap.
They're gorgeous to look at, but they're like museum models. It's like, please don't touch.
Yeah.
And this isn't meant to last. And so like... Mm. By the time anyone ever needed to live there, the building is desolate, and anybody who invests in that has lost money. And then there's also another scam where if you build a structure, and I don't remember exactly how this scam works, but if you build something and nobody buys it, the government gives you like a kickback for doing it, for trying.
Wow. Mm.
And it's more intricate than that, but because of that, there's these buildings they call nail houses. No, it's a different thing. I won't take up more time with that. But there's these buildings that are just... They're like frameworks of a building. It's like cement floors, and then enough pillars to hold the floors up, and then stairs, and that's it. Like there's no walls, there's no roof. Like it's just that, and it looks like a burned out building. It's like the guts of a building.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's it, and that's all they built, and they collect their kickback from the government because like, look, I built a structure, and nobody bought it.
But so, they don't want it because there's nothing there.
That is so hacky.
There's so much of that,
and I don't understand.
Who needs walls?
Yeah.
Just give me a roof,
just
man.
Live there.
You know?
And it's just like the method of like inspection, like the amount of manpower that takes for what's going on there, like, and the amount of monitoring of, you know, watching the watchers that has to go on. Like it's so easy to bribe people there because like they're not being watched. It's a mess, and it's getting better slowly, but it's a mess.
Well, from what I understand, isn't China like heavily? There's a very large disparity between urban and rural. Like, there are people who are rural China who don't even have, like, realistically power or internet or
phones. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, Mongolia is like that. A lot of natives that still,
I think that's more of a cultural thing, though. They tend to hold on to a traditional way of life more closely.
You mean they want
to
hold on to what they got?
No, I don't.
No,
I
don't.
Don't mean that. No, I mean, like, the you know, there are communities and Mongolian and such, but I feel like they. I mean, first of all, it'd be expensive, relatively speaking, for them to just uproot and leave all they've known and try to adapt to city life.
Oh yeah, right. Well, and actually, that's what's happening a lot still.
Okay,
that's where Beijing came from. Beijing was a much smaller city until industry really started booming there, and the. Need for all of the farming that was going on around Beijing stopped for that specific type of farming.
So
they had no choice. Your choice was either starve to death because nobody's buying your crops anymore, or move to Beijing and get a job in a factory or as a construction worker or whatever. And so you've got this, so the city just exploded, but you've also got this weird thing going on where you've got a very undereducated populace being responsible for construction work and because they're the only people available to do it, and like you got to do it. It's just, it's really weird because you've got a city which usually is more educated and more culturally aware, but that's not actually what's going on. And in fact, my experience has been like going out to the rural areas, they're actually less xenophobic out there, which is the opposite of America. Like here you go to the rural areas and like if you don't look like them, you're probably
dang foreigners, get off my lawn.
It's back the way you came.
Yeah.
Go back to where you came from, boy.
Yeah, it's not racist because we're American. And in China, like, they're excited. Like, you're the first white person they've seen. And, holy crap, let's get the camera. Come meet my family. This is my wife. This is her mother. This is our daughter.
Mm.
He's from America. And yeah. and all they want to do is sit with you and talk to you and ask you about what your life is like.
Yeah.
But then cool. in the city, like they're angry that you bothered to even come to their country. Like,
yeah. what do you, right.
Why are you here?
yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
So back to Hack Ops.
yeah. I mean, we really only
this
have
this has
like
been China Minutes Trivia.
5 minutes.
Yeah. So. I'm also the Chinese ambassador to Hope. I don't know. and Icelandic.
Well, there you go.
But I think really just to wrap up. Yeah,
it's kind of it. It's I.
Yeah, I
want to stress
we,
that like it's totally valid sometimes, not as a habit, but sometimes to take a really hacky approach to your operations.
And you will learn through a career in operations, of which I am much earlier in mine than you are. But you will learn when it's okay to employ a hacky fix versus like, oh shit, I should just do it the right way.
I'll be honest right now. I blatantly. Have a bias against the developers. I will give them whatever hacky turnip I can.
Hacky well, turnip?
Yeah.
That's just
you being like the vegetable?
No. Turn up.
N-U-P, not
let's
N-I-P.
Start using
you got,
that.
You got servers twerking over there turnip, or what? Sure. You know?
Hacky turnip.
A turnip is any turnip that's hacky. That's
I like it. I like it.
I can get you a turnip real quick.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, realistically, you know, our job is reactionary and proactive.
Yeah.
You know, you're taking care of issues. You're trying to resolve them as they come in.
We're fighting fires, and we're also
well. You're also digging fire roads, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not always reactionary. If you're always being reactionary, then everything you're gonna do is gonna be hacky, and if at some point your infrastructure is just gonna collapse.
Yeah.
And so if you're like preparing, and if you're digging those fire roads, and you're prepping the water barrels, so to speak, eventually. A hacky solution is going to be a temporary solution. You say, oh, fuck, this is fucked up. I got to fix this.
Yeah.
And you know, hey, this server is a hacky server. We need to replace it ASAP.
Yeah.
But it's up for now. We're in prod. We're good.
Yeah.
And then you just monitor.
Well, and to run with that, I think we all do hacky things sometimes, especially with the intent of going back like, oh, I'm going to fix this in a week when I really have the time.
Guilty.
Yeah, right.
Guilty is charged.
We're all guilty.
Yeah.
I do think that's fine if you stick to that plan, but if you never go back and fix it, all of a sudden everything is hacked together, and you no longer have a job, and everything's on fire. So.
And nobody ever goes back and fixes it. And
well,
that's
the
one
big
of the
question is,
really
who here
of.
Yeah.
has set up a temporary solution that's still
oh, yeah,
being
absolutely.
Used?
I can rattle some things off.
Yeah.
Because it happens. I mean,
right.
in the heat of the moment, something is broken, or you need something yesterday. So you just get it working, and you're like, okay, I'll add configuration management tools to this later, and I'll make sure that, you know.
And then 5 years later, you're like, oh, crap, that server's still on.
I think what makes HackOps possible,
right?
And
knowing how to prioritize it.
Yeah, sometimes you get to the next reboot because the power went out or something, and you're like, oh, fuck, that machine didn't come back because XYZ. Like, that's shitty HackOps. Don't do that.
That's right. The CMOS.
I have one of those in my house, and I hate it, and I never fix it because that's just in my house.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Except every time, like it reboots, it's like there's my evening gone. Like standing back up everything manually that I did last time.
Yeah. I think we've all
for a while
we've all been there. on the 3.x kernels. My router would do that. My Linux router.
That seems like an important one.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, you know, well, it would reboot, and then, I wouldn't lose BIOS settings. It just wouldn't turn back on. So even if I did a reboot, I would have to... A reboot F.
You'd have to go for manually
power hit cycle? The power button in the rack,
would it just hang during shutdown? Is that...
No, it would halt. It would successfully halt the system, but it wouldn't actually trip the...
Wouldn't like send the ACPI signal or something? All right.
Wouldn't send that.
Weird.
Super weird.
Yeah, but a reboot dash F worked fine for it. So I don't know.
Weird.
Go figure. The
go figure.
Yeah. Anyways, I think that's been good.
Yeah.
Yes. That's
Please.
Really all we had to talk about.
Tweet at us and tell us your favorite HackOps story.
That's right. I need to drop the contact info. Our website is sysadministrivia.com. I'm going to spell that. It's sysadministrivia.com.
Sysadmin.
You should do the spelling bee.
Sysadmin
is trivia. but it's actually a portmanteau.
Right, yeah.
But every time I explain a portmanteau, people get confused by it, so I'm just going to leave it at what Johnny said. Our Twitter podcast, or podcast Twitter, is the phrase I'm looking for, is at SYSADM_podcast. And that's because we could have used at System Administrator, but Twitter doesn't let you have admin in your handle. No shit. Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Real bummer.
Super bummer.
I do have to say that I actually really enjoyed recording with you guys in person. This was actually, I think, our first time doing this. And it was kinda cool.
Well, Javon and I did for season one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
And you guys were here last year.
Yeah, right.
Well, not last year.
Two years.
But that was when our season one was, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
It's okay.
Oh, all right. That was your first season?
Well, no.
We started at zero.
We started at zero.
Edgy.
Nerds.
Nerds.
We're nerds. I tried to tell them to do season two as season one, you know, to follow.
Well, no.
That probably throws off, like, the podcast aggregators. Like, when start getting... Like, what does season zero even do to them?
They interpret it.
Season zero, they handle fine.
Yeah. Okay.
But, like, binary or hex or something, that would...
But if you do season one and then season... Well, then you would do season 01.
Right.
And then that would...
And then eventually, when
you go from 01 to 10, I think you're going to cause like a ton of CPU spikes from everyone constantly making calls to find the in-between season.
Right.
You're going to like freak everyone's aggregator out.
I kind of want to start a different podcast just to find different ways of breaking podcast clients.
We could just call it like the semantic versioning podcast.
The notes should all be in hex.
There you go.
It's not my fault your aggregator's dumb.
But yes. Yeah.
Well, you're just an idiot.
And the entire time it'll just be a test tone for every episode. Yeah. The entire purpose is to just mess like with the metadata.
A 5-minute test tone. Just
that is the most like uppity sysadmin podcast title I could think of.
I would too, actually.
A good way of finding out if your podcast client's broken, I guess.
You know? Why don't you just use a different aggregator?
Right.
Well, why are you using this?
Works for me.
Yeah. Just use this incredibly difficult CLI-based one. It works fine for me. Why don't you just do that, Mom?
Just use LXML and write a Python script to
Lua.
Parse the... Yeah, Lua. I learned Lua for the first time.
Dude, before. It's coming back.
Oh my God. It is. It's Why? Coming back.
Why?
And
it's a natural balance for Google pushing Go.
It is.
All right, we're.
I'm told we're done here. Thanks, everybody.
Mom's giving us the wrap-up signal.
But it was good.
Thank you very much.
Yep. All right, this has been the SysAdmin's Trivia Podcast. I'm Johnny Christmas of Radio Settler signing off. Stick around. We are immediately switching over to Chelsea Manning's keynote at Hope Live.